Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Second Opinion area here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, I mean, you may remember a couple of weeks ago, we got a call from Kate. She had a bare-bones Chevy Cavalier with 150,000 miles on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And her husband took extremely good care of it and promised to keep it running to like 300,000 miles. And she didn't think that she could take that. So she called us. She asked us how she could destroy the car.
Yeah, and you suggested, I believe, deception.
I did.
Yes, you did. You said, pretend there's a terrible vibration in the car and you're afraid to drive it. Remember this?
I thought it was brilliant.
And he'll go nuts trying to find a vibration that's not there, and he'll give up and junk the car and get you a new one.
Exactly.
Very devious.
Oh, thank you.
Well, a listener named Kathleen had a much better idea for Kate with the Cavalier.
Okay, let's see what she said.
She writes this. Dear Click and Clack, my husband and I were appalled, that you missed the obvious answer to Kate's dilemma. Instead of the lame and unsophisticated answer that you gave her...
Hey, we try to be consistent.
Lame and unsophisticated, that's us. Instead of the lame and unsophisticated answer you gave her, here's what you should have said. The wife should have approached her husband and said, honey, I've always had this fantasy of you and me in the back of an insert a year, make, model, color, and accessory package of the desired car. The new car would be in the driveway before the week was up. Feel free to use this line, altered as needed, for all couple-related calls in the future.
So what if the husband goes out and rents one? It's okay, let's go, baby. Yeah, I got a bottle of tequila, and let's live it up. Who said Kathleen Bradshaw?
That's her.
And
Kathleen Bradshaw.
It was
not
good.
Bad, not bad at all.
Better than the lame and unsophisticated answers that our listeners have become accustomed to from us. Anyway,
let me just get it straight again. I have always had this fantasy of you and me in the back of a something or other.
Ah, yes.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Chevy pickup truck. Anyway, if you've got a question about how to get the car you want, give us a call. We may not have the answer, but
Kathleen has.
But Kathleen will steer you in the right direction. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22. That isn't deception? 227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
In St. Augustine, Florida. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, Leslie. How are you?
I'm
doing pretty darn good.
Is that where the grass comes? Whenever I read a thing of lawn fertilizer, it always cites St. Augustine grass.
Yeah, we have the world's worst grass here.
Oh, the world's worst?
It's a grass that grows into your ground, and it's like this long, huge root, and you just can't get rid of it.
Oh, is this the thing with the real wide blades?
Yeah, they're really thick and not soft and stuff.
Oh, but it's very durable in that climate.
Oh, yeah.
Could you pave driveways with it?
Probably could.
Oh. Anyway, just wondering, what's going on, Leslie?
Well, I drive a 2002 Honda CR-V, and I drive a lot for my job. And when I'm having my car, I let it sit there and idle, and I shut it off, go into an account, come back out. It will not turn on. It kind of goes rrr, 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 like that. And when it finally does click on, it says I have an empty tank of gas. Now, I've experimented, and I can start with a full tank, just fill it on up, do the whole experiment, you know, let it idle, shut it off, go do something, come back, and it claims I have an empty tank of gas. Once it finally gets started and I drive around for a while, it takes about 35, 45 minutes for the needle to go back up to full.
Well, you know, it's possible that the ground connection for the sending unit and the pump are the same. You know, the pump is inside the tank.
Okay.
And so is the gizmo that makes the gauge read.
Okay.
That's called the tank sending unit, and it's basically a float. And it tells the thing on the dashboard how much to register. But if the ground connection is bad, or if the connection itself, there's a plug where the fuel pump and this thing plug into the harness underneath the car. If there's a bad connection there, it could interrupt the flow of electricity to the pump as well
and
as to
the
gauge.
But even if it doesn't happen all the time?
Sure.
Especially if it doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
So here's what you need to do. You need to call the Honda dealer and see if there's a service bulletin on this.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have armadillos there in St. Augustine?
Yes, you see them smushed on the road a lot.
Maybe they're eating your wires now.
But
squished on the road. That's a wonderful image. Anyway, you should contact the Honda dealer and see if they have some kind of information. It's likely that you're not the only one who's having this problem.
Like a recall or something like that.
Like a recall or even a technical service bulletin. Where they say, oh, yeah, there's corrosion on this or a loose connection, et cetera, and they may be able to fix it for short money or for free.
Okay.
If they can't, then it's going to be up to you to figure it out.
Oh, pickles. That's a good thing.
Well, and that's why I'm going to suggest that you have somebody show you at least where the connection is underneath the car.
Okay.
And then you have to buy yourself a jumpsuit. And when the thing won't start, you put the jumpsuit on.
You crawl into the car.
So you come out of an account, right? You got your briefcase, you got your high heels on, you're all dressed up. You throw the briefcase in the back, you take off your high heels, you put the jumpsuit on, you crawl under there, you wiggle this connection, and you get
and
in the car.
And start right up.
Starts up, they'll think you're a genius. But then you'll know where the problem is.
Okay.
Probably not it at all. But try the Honda dealer first, maybe you'll make out.
I'll go with that one first, because I just don't see me crawling underneath the car that much.
I do, I can see it.
Oh, come on.
There's a lot of fun stuff under there, including maybe some squished armadillos.
There you go. You just never know what you're going to find underneath there.
You never do. You never do.
Good
and
luck.
That's why it's so exciting.
Good luck, Leslie.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye, hon.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, good. Who's this?
This is Paul and Eugene.
Paul and Eugene, or Eugene and Paul?
Yes.
Paul and Eugene.
Eugene, Oregon?
Eugene, Oregon.
See, it's interesting. Eugene is another one of those places like Bangor.
How so?
Well, but you never have to tell people what state it's in. I guess there are some, like Atlanta. There's no Atlanta, Massachusetts.
That's true.
Right. No, there is some that are self-explanatory.
Bangor is Bangor.
No, there are a lot. I mean,
Eugene is Oregon.
Of the less well-known towns.
Eugene is certainly one of those that does not need
any. But Bangor, certainly. Bangor's a very small town. I mean, if you tell someone you're from Atlanta or Detroit.
Those are big
or Chicago,
places.
You would expect people to recognize what state followed those. But Bangor.
Yeah.
I thought this was Car Talk. I guess this is the geography station.
This is geography talk.
So what's on your mind, Paul?
Well, I've got a perplexing dilemma I wonder if you can help me out with. I have a 78 Toyota Corolla, a hatchback.
Mm-hmm.
And after this is something that's developed just recently, after I've been driving it for about an hour or so, I start to get something dripping out of the dashboard.
Mm. Yeah, it's oily?
It's oily, and it turns out that what it is transmission fluid.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's coming out of the dashboard. It's coming out of the transmission.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely perplexed. It starts to get all over my pants. It gets all over my shoes. It's all over the floor. It's all over everywhere.
Isn't that embarrassing, especially if you have a date or something?
That's exactly right. It's terribly embarrassing. There's newspaper all over the place, and I have to put newspaper over my pants and rags under the dashboard. It's terrible.
You're having accidents in the car.
How long have you endured this indignity? I mean, haven't you had a...
Since 78.
No, I haven't, but it's been hard to endure it, I'll tell you that.
All right, well, we're going to solve your problem.
I hope so.
What's happening, the only link between the dashboard and the transmission, save for the shifter, your shifter's on the floor in this thing.
Yeah.
Is the speedometer cable. Because the speedometer, the way the speedometer works is it has a cable that runs from the transmission to the speedometer head.
Right, the way the speedometer thing spins.
The
way it knows how fast the car is going is really by measuring how fast the transmission is turning.
Okay.
The output shaft of the transmission.
Right.
So in this car, this cable runs from the transmission to the speedometer head, and there's a seal in the transmission which is supposed to prevent the lubricant in the transmission from working its way into the cable.
That's it.
So that that cable, which is in a sheath, is serving as a conduit for the oil, which is getting pumped up there and actually probably being sucked along as the cable spins.
It's acting like a screw pump, an impeller pump, and what it's doing is it's sucking that oil right up the cable onto your pants.
Okay.
But take heart, pretty soon you'll run that transmission dry and the problem will cease to exist. Yeah. And a week later, you'll need a transmission, and the used one you get won't have this bad seal. But you can fix this for less than $50, probably.
How do you get the seal into the transmission?
You take it to a transmission shop.
Yeah, that's the easy way.
No, your regular repair shop ought to be able to do this. It's easy.
So if I took a pair of wire cutters and snipped the speedometer cable, I wouldn't get oil on my pants anymore, but it would still drain itself.
It would go onto the street.
Yeah, it would still, yeah, no, don't do that. That would be bad. That would be bad, Paul.
I don't know. I'd rather not know how fast I was going and have clean pants.
No, but
so bad,
you wouldn't not only not know how fast you were going, but you would still be pouring transmission fluid
in the street. Well, I can tell that Paul, who owns this 78 Corolla, is into cheap and dirty repairs. Do you tell me this, Paul? Do you use frozen orange juice cans to fix exhaust leaks?
No, I use baling wire and coffee cans. Actually.
Yeah, okay.
No, you can't use orange juice cans anymore because they're made out of cardboard.
That's exactly right.
You're gonna use
coffee cans.
Tomato puree. The little cans of
V8 cans.
V8 cans are good. Tomato puree is good.
Good luck.
Thanks very much.
See you later. Thanks for your call.
Appreciate your help. Enjoy the show.
All righty. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Suzanne Eisman from South Egremont, Massachusetts.
South Egremont. I've heard of that.
Boy, that is an elegant-sounding name.
Well, it's a very nice town.
It's out in western Massachusetts, right?
Egremont.
That's right, in the Berkshires.
Yes, yes.
You must live near Arlo Guthrie.
Well, not about 30 minutes away.
No kidding.
So are we.
Everybody lives there. Now, Suzanne.
Yes.
Is this with a Z or with an S?
It's with a Z.
That's what I thought. No, what
there's an S at the beginning.
No, but Suzanne.
Okay. Yeah, we got it. Well, yeah, of course.
Suzanne.
So what's on your mind, Suzanne?
Well, I decided to talk to you about the other woman in my husband's life.
Yes, let's discuss. I love prurient little stories like this.
Well, her name is Tootsie.
Tootsie, yeah.
Tootsie is a 1929 Model A Ford.
Yeah.
With a bladder problem.
Yeah, she leaks all over the garage?
Well, as a matter of fact, that's exactly what she does. We only drive her my husband only drives her in the summertime. But if the weather is bad or it's a little too cold, he puts her in the garage, which is attached to the house.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Hmm?
Well, he's in love with her.
And then I smell rather noxious fumes in the house. Huh. And it makes me sick.
Yeah, you're probably smelling gasoline.
Gasoline, correct.
It's probably leaking from the carburetor. The Model A, does the Model A have a fuel pump?
I don't know. My husband.
Model A.
My husband told me a few things to tell you.
Gas tank was on the front.
The gas tank is right in front of the windshield.
Right in front of the windshield,
right.
And there is no fuel pump. It was gravity feed.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And my husband says she seems to ooze gas. And he has just gotten an obituary.
My brother does that, too.
Are you having fun?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No.
Will you be serious? Suzanne has a serious question here. Her marriage is at stake. She's right. Losing brain cells every day, smelling the gasoline fumes, and you're not taking it seriously?
I will take it seriously.
Take it seriously because, I mean, for all I know, Tootsie has a death wish on me.
Maybe.
And those fumes will asphyxiate me.
Yes, maybe that's their plan.
You know, you talk about coincidence. Now, what do I have? My brother can attest to this.
Yes.
I saw the headline already.
No, it's better than the headline. I mean, I am reading a couple of weeks old issue of the Weekly World News, just to give you an idea what this newspaper is all about. Mm-hmm. And there is a story in the middle of this newspaper about a woman in California who suffers from the world's most bizarre body odor. She smells of gasoline.
Oh, Butchie down at the Shell station has that, too.
This is serious. Maggie Loggenhook suffers from the most unusual BO in medical history, an overpowering smell of gasoline that seeps from the pores of her body 24 hours a day. And it shows a picture of Marge, or Maggie, sitting here, and her husband is wearing a gas mask. So you sort of have the same situation here.
Well, I think he needs to change her carburetor.
Yes, I think her carburetor needs to be changed, and I think Tootsie needs a new carburetor.
Yeah, well, my husband got an original Zenith carburetor and a rebuilding kit, which he hopes to use in the spring.
Yes, good. Good. In the meantime, Yes, I think so.
Well, the other question is, of course, are those fumes that are coming into the house dangerous?
Well, evidently not to Maggie's husband.
No, he's wearing a gas mask.
What about to Suzanne?
Yeah,
oh,
to
no,
Suzanne,
the fumes,
it's not good.
The fumes are dangerous.
Sure.
I'm glad you said that because my husband keeps saying, oh, that can't hurt you.
No, he's wrong about
that. If your
that.
Husband really loves you, tell him to stick Tootsie outside. Of course, you can solve that. He doesn't drive it in the winter, you say.
Yeah. No, Tootsie is hibernating in a friend's garage, which is attached to nothing.
Okay, so the smell is no longer an issue. But if he were to store it, even if he didn't fix the problem, he could certainly drain the gas out at the beginning of the winter.
Or, I mean, if it's really leaking from the carburetor, he could just disconnect the line going to the carburetor, plug it up, and then it wouldn't leak anymore.
That's right. We can find a dead mouse and stick it in.
There you go.
Find a dead mouse.
I'm sure there are a few other lovely things like that that you'd love to do to Tootsie, too, Suzanne.
Actually, she is lovely, and we enjoy her very much.
So you ride around in Tootsie as well?
Oh, yes.
Sure.
Oh, yes, we do. We go, we wear special hats, and we have a great time.
Yeah.
Next time we're in South Egremont, we will be looking for you.
Come on by. We'd love to see you.
Thanks for your call, Suzanne.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Give me a hint, any hint. Just help me out.
Okay, it had to do with a trained bee.
A trained bee.
I knew you wouldn't. I'll have the answer in just a minute.
Now I'm back to work and thriving in this big old rig I'm driving, hauling everything from bowling balls to fuel. Once had so much time to kill, now my PDA is filled with 100 million things I got to do. When I'm out there on the highway, I'm a multitasking fool. Between stock trades, downloads, eBay sales, and my correspondence school. So fill her up with ethanol, tell my broker that I called, pour me one more grande latte for the road.
And even though NPR focus group leaders call for another dozen air sickness bags whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's locomotive.
Oh, now I remember it.
Automotive puzzler.
A locomotive. I remember it now.
And I said a trained bee, and I meant a trained bee. A bee that's been hit by a train. That's a train. Anyway, here it is.
Yeah.
You have two trains on the same track speeding toward one another.
Am I going to need a pencil?
Get a pencil, yeah.
Get the
Just
pencil.
Make a little picture.
Two trains. There we are.
The trains are 150 miles apart, mm-hmm. and they're both traveling at 75 mph.
75, and they're on the same track? Did you say that yet?
Two trains on the same track.
I'm with you now. Go ahead.
A very fast bee,
yeah.
maybe even a trained bee, flies from the front bumper of one train mm-hmm. to the front bumper of the other train. And as soon as it gets to the second train, without losing any time yeah. in reversing its decision, it turns around and reversing its direction, rather. It turns around and heads back to the first train. And it continues to do this, flying back and forth and back and forth, back and forth and forth and back and back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay, you got that now.
I got it. So each time it goes a shorter distance,
of course.
Because the trains are hurtling toward each other at 75 miles an hour.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
Woof. So you go whoop, 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 whoop. So you got all these little pieces you're going to have to add up.
Diminishing little series here. You got that?
Until whap!
Well, I didn't mention yet that the bee flies at 137.5 miles an hour.
Excellent.
And the question is very simply, how far will the bee have traveled before he's squashed like the bug that he is between the bumpers of the two trains?
Yeah.
Now, you could sit down and you could draw the little picture and you could say, well, let me see. If he's flying at 137 miles an hour and the other train is coming at 75, then that's a combined velocity of 212.5. You can figure out, in fact, how far he travels before he reaches the bumper of the the train number two.
Yeah, sure.
And then you can say, well, in that time,
train number one has gone. Yeah, you could do that.
You could do that, but you could also do it the easy way. It isn't the cowboy way.
But it is the easy way.
According to our pals, Riders in the Sky, but it is the easy way. Now, knowing that the trains are 150 miles apart and traveling at 75 miles an hour, in 1 hour, they will have crashed.
Will they?
Yeah.
No kidding.
So if the B is traveling at 137.5 miles an hour, how far will he travel in an hour?
137.5 miles.
And that is
the answer.
The answer.
And isn't that good?
Yeah, and that is a...
How many eighth grade kids are going to get that in their little test next week?
They may. Do we have a winner?
Yeah, of course. We got a winner, Becky Slager from Raleigh, North Carolina. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers, Becky, you're going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, where you can get our CD collection, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Car. Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars. This is not nice that we're giving away a Shameless Commerce gift certificate. That isn't right, is it?
Why?
I mean, they should win something of value.
Anyway, we'll have a new puzzler coming up in the third half. I think I'm going to use one from the famous...
String collection?
No.
Coin collection?
No. Matchsticks.
Matchsticks.
So that'll be coming around in the third half of the show. So don't leave.
No, stick around, as a matter of fact.
And while you're waiting, you might as well call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2782-55. A lawyer on Car Talk.
This is Romeo.
Romeo, wherefore art thou?
Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Art thou in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
Yeah, New Mexico.
Yeah. So what's up?
Not much. I have a question about my car.
Wait. Is your name really Romeo?
Yeah, sure.
No kidding.
Are you of Italian extraction or Spanish?
I'm Spanish.
Spanish.
Really?
Actually, I'm Mexican. I can't say I'm Spanish.
And how do they put it? It's not pronounced Romeo.
Romeo.
Romeo. Yeah,
it's
Romeo.
It's pronounced Romeo?
Uh-huh.
In Spanish? Because in Italian, it's Romeo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay, like sure. Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
That's a great name. It's not very common. Is it common in Mexico?
No, not really. It's I don't know.
Do you have a nickname?
Do I have a nickname?
Yeah.
No, just call me Romeo.
Really? That's interesting. That's nice. That's nice. It's
like
refreshing
it.
To find someone whose name is used in its entirety.
Yeah. Well, some names don't lend themselves to nicknames at all, like Nick. What are you going to call?
Well, I tell you what, try growing up with a name like Romeo, though.
Yeah, no thanks.
Like, you know, like the boy named Sue, you know?
Yeah, how many fights did you have?
Well, I got beat up a lot as a kid, but it makes it tough.
All right, so what's up, Romeo?
Well, I have a 66 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme, and, right now it's running on, instead of two, it's only running on one, what we call down here, huevo. Now, see, me and my friend, we had it parked, and we were, you know, tinkering around with it, trying to just fix up a couple of the loose ends. And we took it out, and we were horse-beating it. And, you know, we peeled out a couple of times. Like, for one time, we peeled out for, like, two blocks. And then one time, we peeled out through an intersection. And then we pull it into my garage again, like just back it up all casually, and it starts clicking like we threw a rod or something. And
you were really beating this thing.
The
huh?
engine starts clicking.
Yeah, it's a muscle car, you know. What can
sure.
you do?
Not,
it sounds like an anemic car right now.
Well, yeah. So it started clicking, and we kind of looked at each other and gave a really distressed look, you know, because we said, "Oh man, that's going to cost
man,
a lot of money."
Oh man, what did we do now?
Right. And so we backed it up, and you know, we parked it for a while, and said, "Well, we'll get to that when we have time." And when we started it up again the next time, it started fine. There was no clicking, but ever since then, you know, the thrill's not there. It's not even worth peeling out anymore. It's like, man, well,
why? Because you're afraid you're going to repeat this.
Well, not really.
No,
it
doesn't have any guts anymore.
Exactly. It's just the thrill is gone.
Yeah. And does it run lousy at idle as well? Or
actually,
did it always?
It idles pretty well. It sounds really good.
But it doesn't have any power.
No power. And and someone told me that it might be a lifter because, like, I guess it was parked for a while. But then someone else told me it could be the timing belt. Now, I'm not really sure because I don't know, you know.
Well, it doesn't have a belt. It has a chain.
And I like the timing chain.
There you go.
Well, I don't particularly. Usually, once the timing chain begins to go, it's a rapid slide downhill. And in other words, if you've jumped that chain one notch, it's probably going to jump two or three or four notches within a few hours of running.
Oh, but well, it depends on how you drive, though.
Take it out and drive the hell out of it again. I mean, if the timing chain is gone.
If you did jump the chain, it means it's loose enough to jump. And if you do what you were doing, whatever the hell you were doing, you and your buddy there, Juliet.
Right, I know what they were doing. They were repaving the roads in Albuquerque with rubber.
And gasoline coming out the tailpipe. And if that's the case, this thing will jump about four more teeth.
And stop
running.
And
it won't start.
Well, if you don't want to do that, here's what you do. Do you have a timing light?
You sure do.
Put the timing light on.
Does he have a timing light?
And see if the ignition timing is still right on. If it is, then you didn't jump the chain.
Okay.
Okay. But you could have collapsed the lifter.
Oh, man.
But if you did, you'd probably still be hearing the noise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if the noise is completely gone, it runs very smoothly at idle?
I suspect it's something a little less severe.
Oh, well, that's good.
And I'm going to recommend that you have... to do something here. You have to take the spark plugs out, and you're going to find that one of them is fouled.
You
think it's running on eight cylinders, but it isn't.
Uh-huh.
You say it runs pretty well at idle, but it doesn't run perfectly, does it?
No, not really.
Yeah, not really.
It kind of, I guess, drags. Is that the word, when you give it a little gas?
Well, no. Is it automatic?
Yeah, sure.
When you put it in drive, is there a little shake to the engine?
Not much.
Just enough to let you know that you're running on seven cylinders instead of eight.
Yeah, and probably. Yeah.
And I think that would account for everything.
That would account for
the small loss of power.
Uh huh.
And would account for the fact that it runs rough.
Yeah.
Which are the only two things which constitute everything.
I mean, when you try to really accelerate hard, if you have ever tried that since this happened,
does
the whole engine shake?
No, I bet it pops back through the carburetor. If you really stomp on it.
Sure.
Poof, poof. Yes?
I guess it runs all right. It just takes a while to get up there, you know, and the speed.
It's the timing chain then.
You think so?
I think it's the timing chain.
Well, it could be. Put the timing
Check
light
the
on
timing.
It. Then, if that's the timing's all right, pull the plugs out. You'll find a couple of them fouled.
If you're lucky.
I bet you they've never been changed. I haven't changed them since I got them. So.
And you got the car when you were in high school, right?
Yeah, it's just about. It's a pretty old car.
Good luck.
All right, thanks a lot. You guys really do good work.
Check the timing and check the spark plugs.
Okay, have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for calling.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Deanna.
Deanna.
Yeah.
Is that with two N's?
Yes.
I wrote Dean, and I left a space, and I wrote an A, so I could put in the extra N.
Fill it in.
Yep. It's in.
And where are you from, Deanna?
New York City.
Like Manhattan, New York City?
Like Manhattan, yes.
Really?
No kidding.
Yeah.
You don't own a car.
Well, yeah, actually, I do. That's
you
my
do.
Problem.
Oh.
You're a banker, then.
No. It's actually my mother's car, but she has a broken foot, so now all her car problems are my car problems. Mm.
In addition to having to drive her around every place.
Yeah, there's that.
Gee, what a nightmare.
Don't forget, she drove you around to plenty of places.
I know. We're going diaper for diaper, but that's beside the point. that's beside the point.
Yeah.
Want to hear about the car?
Sure.
Okay, it's the 87 Plymouth Reliant, the car designed and built for life in the city.
Yeah,
of course.
Because it's rather unassuming, you know.
Mm-hmm. Never gets stolen. Who would ever want it?
Right. And you would think, wouldn't you, that the parts would not be in high demand?
No.
Well, the battery is in very high demand.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that battery happens to fit a jillion other cars.
Yes, universal. Right. How many times has it been stolen in your fair city?
Well, my city is not as fair as some, I guess. It's been stolen about four times.
No kidding.
Twice in the last month. So this was our solution.
I have the solution, but give me yours.
We'll explain to you the twice in a month theory in a moment, but go ahead.
Okay, well, you know how in this city you have to move your car every day to the other side of the street?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the solution. It's horrible. I have to carry the battery down to the car each time, install it, close it up, drive the car around the block, repark it, take out the battery, and schlep it all the way back up to my apartment.
Jeez.
And it's not a pretty sight. I don't like it.
Well, you could just put it in the trunk.
But they could open the trunk just as easily, and plus...
Yeah, but they won't be looking for a battery in there. They might open your hood and no battery, and they'll give up. They're not gonna, unless they see you put it in the trunk, of course.
Right. Have you possible, because here's the thing. I park it in the same neighborhood every day.
Yeah.
And that's my theory about the twice in a month thing,
yeah,
is that they know the car, because it's down there all the time.
Exactly.
Well, worse than that, they know that once they steal your battery...
I'm going to put another one back.
You're going to have a brand new one in there, so they won't have to steal a crummy old one.
When they steal batteries, they don't really want to steal old batteries.
Right.
So they say, how can we identify the cars that will have new batteries in them? And they say it's very simple. The cars from which we stole the batteries yesterday will have brand new batteries in them today.
Right, and if you look carefully on the left front fender, you will see a nearly invisible mark that the battery thieves put there, so they can identify your car as having had its battery stolen.
Having knowledge of this theory, I mean, when I first moved to a certain section of this city, mm-hmm, here in Boston, the North End, the first night I parked my 56 Chevy there.
Known for its thieves and criminals, criminal element, I might add.
Right.
Watch it, will you? You crazy?
The first night I
left the car there, I came the next day, and the battery was missing.
Huh.
Knowing, of course, that the only reason they stole my battery was because they wanted to get a brand new one the next day, I purposely went to the junkyard and paid $2 for a battery that was on its last legs.
Oh,
but it was sufficient to start the car, so I put it in the car, drove it back, and put a note on top of it saying, ha, ha, ha.
They broke his windshield.
So they broke my windshield.
See, I believe that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm afraid of.
No, it's you know, you can't mess with these. If they want to steal your battery, it's like having an argument with someone that's preparing your food. You never know what they're going to do to it behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Don't ever fight with the guy that's making your food.
So you should just lie down and let them take your battery every day. That's
it.
Yeah.
No, cool. You know what? This happened a couple of years ago.
Oh, a Sprite, Mr. Funny Man.
It happened. Yeah.
We figured out how to stop them for a while because we saw somebody stealing a battery out of another car.
Yeah.
And what they were doing was going up underneath the hood and popping it open with a stick.
Right.
We put a little piece of metal in there,
yep,
so that they couldn't get a stick up, uh-huh, there to pop it open. But now I don't know how they're doing it.
Yeah, they
so
have their ways.
Is there any prevention for this?
Well, you can put
a padlock,
a chain, the kind you'd use to chain a bicycle.
Right.
Okay, which, of course, they can cut with bolt cutters. But the more equipment that you require to carry for them to carry around, the more difficult it becomes for them.
True.
Yeah, I mean, the other solution, of course, is the German Shepherd who likes to sleep right down by the tire. And he's chained on a 500-foot chain.
Named Wolfgang.
Wolfgang.
What I prefer is a Gila monster.
With a note around his neck that says, ha ha.
No, that resides right next to your battery.
Yeah, sure.
No,
well, good luck, Deanna.
Well, you're not going to tell me what to
do? No, buy the chain. Buy a chain with a padlock. So you can open the hood with the hood release from inside, and then in order to open it more than 3 more inches, you need to undo this chain and padlock.
Okay, but there's not anything that's specifically made. Maybe you could invent it.
For a while, I actually put a chain around my battery when I lived in the North End.
Okay.
I just took a chain and a padlock and wrapped it around the battery. And I don't know if they ever came looking to take the battery after that, but it never got stolen.
But he did find
his
windshield broken 3 more times.
No, I mean, I know I don't know if that prevented them from ever stealing the battery again, but I had that chain and padlock around the battery for as long as I had the car.
Then he forgot the combination, and he had to sell the car because he couldn't change the battery.
So, I mean, I think the idea of forcing them to carry bolt cutters with them.
That's a good idea.
Although they probably have bolt cutters already.
Yeah.
When they stole your battery, were the battery cables still intact?
One time they were, and one time they were not.
Yeah, so they have the bolt cutters already.
They have them, to cut the chains.
So it won't matter.
That really irked me.
I mean, I don't want to badmouth New York, but it is the rottenest place in the world to be.
It's
disgusting, horrible, crime-ridden, filthy, and...
Never, Thomas.
You want me to tell you what I really feel about the place?
Yeah, don't hold back, man. It's not good for your blood pressure.
Let it out slowly, okay?
Good luck, Deanna.
Okay, thanks.
Bye, two chains. See ya.
Okay, I will. Bye.
Bye.
All right, it's time to take a short break.
Yeah, I have to collect my thoughts.
You know, you might sound smarter if you collected someone else's thoughts. Ever think about that?
We'll be back in a minute.
There's nothing in the world that can make me feel like I do when I'm driving my old diamond Rio.
prowling down the interstate, 90 miles an hour and overweight. But with 300 horses and a 10-speed box, we leave all the smoky staring at their clocks. Men who like to get their loving with a thrill spend their time and their money on some diamond lil. And women who play the game just to win place all of their bets on old Diamond Jim. But with my Diamond Rio, I spend my time. She carries 41 tons and she turns on a dime.
And even though Marconi reaches up from the grave and changes the station whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, or cars repairs.
Cars repairs.
And the new Puzzler. And as I promised, this is one from the Matchstick collection.
Ah. And see. Now, those tend to not be bogus. Because...
Oh, you haven't heard them all yet.
Well, it's sort of logico-mathematical, and those have an answer, you know?
Well, they do have an answer, and it's seldom disputed.
Yeah.
Although I've done a few that you have criticized in the past, I remember, like maybe half of them.
I mean, my wife said to me the other day, the only thing she liked about math in high school was that it was the only class in which you could get a 100%.
Yeah.
Everything else was subjective. You turn in a paper and they say, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, how good is it? Is it 100%? Well, it could always be better.
Well, that's why we unimaginative types.
Yeah.
Like math.
We like math because...
Because there's no doubt when you have the right answer.
Is this the answer? Yes. Okay. Bye.
Right.
We're done.
Yeah. No, that's nice and simple. Cut
and
dry.
I think the matchstick ones fall into that category.
Well, we'll see.
But we'll see in a minute. Okay. I just thought I'd preface it.
Now, I thought I'd
never having heard the puzzle.
Because most kiddies are finishing up an extended Thanksgiving vacation. They've had a few days off. And,
yes.
And the mind does tend to get a little dull. So I thought I'd use this puzzler. It not that this is just for kids. Adults can work on this as well. Here it is. Get out a bunch of matches and construct the following equation with your matchsticks. One, this is Roman numerals we're using.
Yeah.
One minus three, this is, three matchsticks
got it.
Together.
I'm with you.
Equals.
Yeah.
Using two matchsticks to make the equal sign.
Yeah.
Two. One, one.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
I got that.
You say, oh, gee, if it were three minus one, it would be two. That would be pretty good, but it isn't. It's one minus three. And the question is, what's the fewest number of matchstick movements you can make to make it
an equation?
An equation that's correct. And you're not allowed to bend, fold, staple, or mutilate or any other such things, but you can move, and you must use all the matches. You can't throw any away. Okay, so if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or stick it to the back of a bottle of 1997 Dante Rivetti Barbaresco Brico di Nieves or something else bright, plummy, cherry, and violet scented with firm tannins and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Alan from Westport, Connecticut.
Hi, Alan.
How are you?
Okay, well, no, I'm not. That's why I called
you. I sensed an urgency in your voice.
Well, it is, and you guys aren't going to probably believe it, maybe your listeners too, but I have the 78 Volvo with 300,000 plus miles on it, and it's a wagon, the 245 DL, and here's the thing, guys. It starts up occasionally, and I don't start it. Now, come on. I mean, I know you're saying, yeah, I'll call, sure. But honest to God, it starts up. Now, I've had it there. I've had this car psychic, Michael Johnchenko, go over the thing completely, and they're baffled. Everybody's baffled. And these guys at the Volvo dealer, let me tell you, they're like you guys. They listen to motors. They don't have to look at it.
Yeah.
They listen, and they know by listening what is wrong.
Yeah. And we know by listening to you what's wrong, too.
I know. Now, don't put me down. Don't rush the judgment.
No, we haven't.
Okay. Now, the TV set, see, the car parks outside, okay, and the TV set is on the ground floor, also the basement. This is a level with the ground. And I have no garage. And the TV set has gone on occasionally, too. Now, have you ever...
Let me get this right. Sometimes, without the key being in the ignition,
right,
the car will start by itself.
I don't understand this.
Well, the first time we encountered this strange phenomenon,
yeah,
I remember the day clearly. We were sitting eating submarine sandwiches, or as you call them, heroes, down there in Westport.
Heroes, hoagies.
Hoagies and all those things.
Grinders.
Sitting in our office in Hackers Haven in Cambridge, Massachusetts, our fifth city. And there was a car up on the lift.
Yeah.
And we sat there eating, and suddenly we hear, the car begins to crank.
Yeah.
And the guy that owned the car was sitting there eating sandwiches with us. And we wondered, who's doing this?
Right.
So we went over to the lift, and we've discovered what the problem was.
What was it?
Car was on fire.
Oh, okay. All right, come on out. Well, listen. Look, I took it out to the guy, you know, IPM. He's like your son. He can listen to a motor, and he knows exactly what's wrong. He's also a hunter. He fired a 30-gauge shotgun when it went on, you know, accidentally when I was out there drinking beer with him, and it stopped. But, you know, just firing a 30-gauge shot into the air must have done something because the motor went off. Normally, when I have to turn it off, I have to put the key in, turn it to the right, then the left, and it shuts down.
Huh.
Well, you're not going to be very helpful on this, I guess.
We're working on it. Jeez.
Well, you've been to psychics. You've been everywhere. What do you expect from us?
Okay, they call it the mystery car at IPM, and they said junk it. At this point, they can't be junk it. I mean, how can I junk a car with 300,000 miles? It's a terribly disgusting-looking car. It's got holes.
Yeah, we can tell it is. Have you called La Toyota Jackson on the psychic network?
No, I haven't. I can't afford that.
Well, what was wrong with that Buick that day was that the solenoid had decided to engage all by itself. The solenoid is the switch in the starter that takes the current from the battery and actually sends it to the windings in the armature of the motor. And for whatever reason, the solenoid connections just made connection. Now, it's the key that usually makes that connection.
Yeah.
But the car didn't start.
No,
that
it car didn't start.
You need more than one ingredient to start the car. You need cranking, which is provided by the starter, which we had in that case, was it a Buick or an Oldsmobile? I don't remember, but it was a GM car.
You're suggesting it's in my mind?
Well, no.
No.
Well, it's a mystery.
We're not sure there's anything in your mind.
We're thinking out loud because we have no idea. See, the car didn't start because it had no ignition.
Yeah.
There was no electricity going to the ignition system.
Right.
Because the key wasn't there.
Okay, so what do I do?
So wait a minute. Let us work it out here.
Okay.
So we know that it's possible for the car to crank with nobody in it.
Okay.
Now, the next question is, how does it possibly get spark?
Yeah.
This is not a diesel Volvo.
No. This is a regular gasoline Volvo.
Gasoline Volvo.
It is entirely possible that the switch is faulty.
So the switch itself, rather than the solenoid.
Right. The switch itself, which is the part that the lock, you know, you have a key.
Yeah.
The key goes into a lock.
Right.
And the lock is connected to the switch.
Yeah.
And the switch is the thing on the back of the lock, which has a whole bunch of wires on it and contacts. And it's possible.
Sure.
That there is something wrong with that.
Do I junk it?
No.
No, this is simple. I mean, if my brother's theory is correct, and I like it,
you
notice how we got there through an organized process of logic.
Right.
And some intensely focused cosmic energy.
Okay. All right, well, listen, I'm going to junk it, I think.
No, you're crazy? Alan.
Okay, look, I'll bring
in the interest of science, I have to ask you, with what kind of regularity does this happen?
About once every 3-4 weeks, once a month.
All right, here's what you have to do. You have to get into the habit of, you have to learn how to unplug the ignition switch.
Okay.
And I think once
relatively easy to do, by the way.
Well, everything's falling apart on it anyhow. So
yeah, it's probably on the floor someplace, hanging down. Once you learn how to unplug it, if you were to leave it unplugged,
okay,
I bet you the car wouldn't start.
What about the TV set?
Come on. One thing at a time.
Okay. Now the TV set. Let's get to the TV set.
It goes on. I don't program it, nothing.
It has a remote control?
I have, but I'm not doing anything.
Someone is.
No. It's 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. It goes on.
Goes on.
Seriously.
Does your neighbor have a garage door opener?
Well, he's got a lot of things in his garage. Aww. He never opens his garage door, so I don't want to get into that. That's a whole bag of worms.
Does the neighbor converse with you? Are you on friendly terms?
Well, I'll tell you, he's with an organization. I mean, I don't want to put down Jehovah's Witnesses, but one of these days I'm going to get 30 of our neighbors over to visit him for a change. but we communicate by mailbox notes. That's it. It's a standoff.
Is he into electronics at all?
Everything. The guy's a former engineer. Hey, you guys are clever.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it might be your neighbor who's concocting all of this.
Yeah, so what should I do? But, you know, you're not giving me solutions today.
Here's what you do. This is going to answer all your questions.
Okay.
Rent a movie starring Ingrid Bergman.
Right.
Called Gaslight.
Oh, gosh, yes. I remember that.
Yeah.
When you see that movie, all will be clear to you.
Okay. Now, will this get my wife back? Because she left because...
No.
No.
Okay.
She may be in cahoots with the guy Klopek that lives next door. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get the movie. Thanks.
Yeah, rent movie. Gaslight and rent the Burbs too while you're there.
Hey, Alan, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
My pleasure, too, and I may go up to Boston.
Let us know when you're coming so we can be out of town.
Can I say hello to my daughter, Jennifer, up there?
Sure.
Okay, hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Okay.
See,
thanks a lot, guys.
See you, Alan.
Thanks.
Bye. Keep up the good work.
We're trying.
Woo! Talk about wackos.
Hey, these are our people. Right?
I love it.
No, I found him quite interesting.
He's certainly an interesting guy. A little hyper.
Yeah.
A little hyper.
Yeah, I was going to tell him to switch to decaf, man. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Amy Arnold from Anderson, Indiana.
Amy Arnold Anderson, Indiana.
Yes.
Amy with an A-M-Y?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Wow.
So what's on your mind today?
Well, I drive a 95 Ford Escort station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't laugh.
We didn't.
That.
We didn't.
No, I have always felt that the Escort was a much maligned vehicle, which didn't deserve to be maligned.
Thank you very much.
As much as it got
As
maligned.
Much as it got. I mean, the Escort was a little cheap junker. But they ran and ran and ran and ran and gave many, many people happy, smiling miles of pleasure.
Especially the guys who were fixing
Especially
them.
The mechanics who worked on them.
Right. I agree. Well, my problem is, the truth is, about a year and a half ago, I changed jobs and took about a 60% pay cut and had to sell my Volvo that I'd saved money up for. And I was very sad. And my mother said, I have this 95 Ford Escort that you can drive until you get back on your feet. Mm. Well, this past August, I'm still driving it. It's a year later. The speedometer started twirling around while I was driving on the interstate one day. And for the last 4 months, I've needed to go on tranquilizers because when I drive, it just goes zzzz around. And I don't know what to do. Do I need to punch out the dashboard or do I need to sign up for some tranquilizer medicine?
Well, that's my brother's technique. My brother had a Dodge van. This is showing you.
Well, I just want to say, before he says anything, I want to show you how I think outside the box.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you can say that. He's got this Dodge van and it's overheating.
Okay.
So he says, I guess I'll just clean out the cooling system. So he flushes out the cooling system, still overheating. He's got the little dial on the dashboard, you know.
The gauge.
The gauge that says cold and hot.
Yeah.
Still starts creeping up to hot. He's, what the heck now? I guess I'm going to have to bite the bullet and put in a radiator. He puts in a radiator. Hot again. He says, I can't. There's nothing else. Like, water pump.
No,
I'll put in the water pump.
You forgot new engine.
New engine. He put in the new engine. That little thing.
Every time I drove up Route 2, the Mohawk Trail here in western Massachusetts, which is rather hilly and, of course, demanding of an engine, the needle would go all the way up to hot.
Okay.
And I couldn't take it anymore.
He really had done everything.
Okay.
What? I pulled over, as Popeye would say, and I fetches me a rock from the side of the road, with which I smashed that gauge.
He smashed the glass, which was covering up the gauge, and he physically moved the gauge to cold.
I bent the needle so it could never ever read, just like the Romans spread salt over the earth once they had finally conquered the Carthaginians. That needle would never, ever, ever read hot again.
See, even now as he talks about it, notice how he's getting
My
agitated.
My vein is bulging
out of veins are bulging out of his head.
So I
can understand, and I'm sure he can understand, how the speedometer spinning around could make you nuts.
So are you saying I need to find a large rock to
well,
smash
black
on my
tape.
Dash?
Well, no, because it's the sound.
Okay, yeah.
More than anything that's getting the...
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to replace the Speedo head.
Okay.
The head is done for. Now, I don't know if this thing doesn't have a... This thing doesn't have a cable, I don't think.
I'll bet it does.
I don't know. If it has a speedometer
nice.
Cable, you could disconnect it. In which
okay.
case, you would have no speedometer, and that would be illegal.
Okay. Do I need to take this into a professional mechanic?
You
to
do.
Get this?
You need to take it someplace. You can go to a junkyard, and you can buy yourself a used instrument cluster.
Used instrument cluster,
which
okay.
is, which will consist of, you know, the speedometer and whatever else is there, the temperature gauge, the gas gauge.
Oh, man, this is
you know,
so much
and then,
work.
And then you can take it to your local repair shop and have them install the thing.
Okay.
You're talking hundreds of dollars here.
No, not
the
really.
The woman is broke.
Yeah, I teach religion at Anderson University, and professors don't make that much.
Oh, so that's why you took the 60% pay cut.
Yeah. Anyway, well, thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, Amy, it's been nice talking to you.
Good
you
luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, frogman.
Pumpkin lips.
Pumpkin lips Berman. Our associate producers are David, the calves of Belleville Green, and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug, the old gray mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Daw Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisors, just back from the Black Sea, Chablis, Kimchi, Sweet Pea, French Brie, Green Tea, Crab Louis, Kedgeree, and Vitamin C Jamboree and Shopping Spree, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our press secretary is Don B. Zonozzi. Our anger management counselor, oh no. Our marine forecaster is Caesar Choppy. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. The Payne Diaz family has the week off, but the head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Chittum & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the shielding coat-clad pigeons in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1348, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, gift shopping for someone you don't like?
Yeah, my brother.
Well, we've got a full line of 25th anniversary Car Talk gear for you. T-shirts, coffee mugs, and a 2-CD set of our all-time least lousy calls, all celebrating 25 years of lousy car advice.
I like it.
Check out the full line of Car Talk gifts right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though female staffers hide every single trace of mistletoe whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.